Welcome back. Renewed fears of a Russian invasion of Ukraine. The U.S. and NATO officials say there is evidence on the ground that shows Russia has increased troop levels near Ukraine's border, despite Moscow announcing earlier in the week that some units were pulling back. Meantime, President Biden said the probability of an attack in the coming days remains high, and he's expected to make some comments from the White House about 90 minutes from now. Joining me to discuss is Douglas Redeker, Brookings non-resident senior fellow. Douglas, thanks so much for being with us. I want to talk for a moment about the global economic implications of a possible invasion by Russia, because we know the U.S. is talking about Russian sanctions. But in many ways, Putin has found an economic lifeline in China. So I guess my question is, would Western sanctions really be a deterrent for Putin at this point?
Well, I like to take a step back and say there are sort of three different buckets of economic impact of what's ongoing right now between Russia and Ukraine. The first is the direct impact of a potential Russian invasion and the disruptions of commerce and economic activity on the back of that invasion. The second alludes to the question that you asked about sanctions. And then the third is, if we do put on sanctions, whatever they may be, what the retaliatory measures might be that Russia might impose on the US and Europe. And each of those three has different economic consequences. So the first one, the direct action of Russia, we don't know, obviously. We don't know what a Russian invasion might look like. But let's assume that that is going to be the one that has the most direct impact on Russia and Ukraine and its trading partners, and particularly in the energy sector, if those energy pipelines are somehow disrupted. But then the second one, the sanctions, that's what we're talking about, proportionality. Proportionality means whatever it is the Russians do, we're expecting a US-EU sanctions package to be somehow proportional to whatever that invasion looks like. These days, it's looking as if there is an invasion, it's gonna be a real invasion, not what President Biden referred to as a minor incursion. So if there is a real invasion that warrants real transatlantic imposed sanctions, I would suspect that those are going to primarily focus on high-tech imports into Russia, the banking sector, and individuals and entities that are on a sanctions list. So whether that includes Putin or not, we don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think those are the three buckets. I don't think it's going to include direct sanctions on energy, simply because energy is a double-edged sword. It hurts those that are receiving the energy as much as, or at least to some degree, as much as those exporting it. So I think that's going to be less likely to be part of that initial package.
Okay, so what about the possible impact on the food sector? And I ask that because you've got these massive Russian naval exercises right now already threatening to choke off agricultural exports from Ukraine, which I believe is one of the top suppliers in the world of corn and wheat. So if that is cut off and only gets worse in the coming days and weeks, what does that mean for the global supply of corn and wheat and to prices there?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Ukraine used to be known as the breadbasket of the former Soviet Union, and it still is a major agricultural exporter, primarily but not exclusively to North Africa and countries in the emerging markets. So you have to sort of look at it as a first, second, and third order consequence of Ukraine being cut off from its exports. Those countries that normally rely on those imports, what are they going to do? There's probably going to have to be a need to fill those countries' needs for imports, and then where do those imports come from as a substitute for where they would normally go? So I think, yeah, you could certainly look at a second-order consequence of a hike in some food prices, primarily to those countries that are really dependent on Ukraine. But you're right, it's a global marketplace for a lot of these foodstuffs, so it would have an impact. The other thing I would say is potash and other fertilizers. Ukraine is a major supplier of those raw materials. So I think that you would see an impact, not in the immediate term, because of course fertilizer has to actually trickle into the agricultural chain. But if you do cut off potash and other fertilizer exports from Ukraine, that's gonna have a broader impact on the food supply going forward as well.
I wanna get back to energy for a minute, because a lot of folks are very concerned that we could see gas prices, you know, move even close to $5 a gallon on average in the U.S. if there was a heightened activity between Russia and Ukraine. And we also saw crude oil marching towards $100 a barrel. Do you believe that that is not going to happen?
Well, so there are two ways to look at, well, there are multiple ways to look at it. Let's take gas, meaning natural gas, and separate it out from oil, which we in the U.S. define as gas, meaning gasoline. Gas, meaning natural gas, is much more of a point-to-point distribution network, meaning you have pipelines that go from Russia through a country to its ultimate destination. There are, however, ramped up supplies of liquid natural gas, which can be transported by ship and by other means. But really, the primary distribution networks of natural gas are point to point. So the U.S. consumer of gas, natural gas, would be less likely to feel a price shock on the back of Russia-Ukraine tensions, other than the fact that we may be diverting some of our excess supply to make up for the shortfalls or potential shortfalls in Europe. But on oil, which again hits the pump here, look, oil is a global commodity. I don't actually believe that the molecules, the energy molecules of oil, are going to be directly impacted by either the action in Ukraine or by the sanctions package that we and the Europeans might seek to impose on Russia. That doesn't mean that supplies are not going to be somehow disrupted by the action itself. But I do think that we are overreacting and thinking that it is going to be a direct sanctions consequence to the price of oil. However, markets don't always focus on those molecules. They focus on the forward-looking fear factor of supply disruptions, and that's where you're going to see the price spike. So my sense is the market is really starting to understand, oh my goodness, a land war in Europe is something we really haven't factored into our thinking for decades. This is going to be disruptive. One of the means by which you're going to see that disruption is going to be energy supplies. But no, I actually don't think you're going to see a direct impact on oil exports from Russia on the back of sanctions.
All right. Douglas Redeker, Brookings non-resident senior fellow, thanks for your insights today. We appreciate it.